This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
One of our favorite interviews leading into the draft every single year, Greg Cosell from NFL Network and NFL Films joins us. First, want to let you know that NFL Network is providing live coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft from Green Bay, April 24th through 26th. First round coverage begins Thursday at 8 p.m. And with that, we welcome in Greg Cosell. Greg, how are you?
What up, G?
Gentlemen, what's happening? How's it going?
Going great. Looking forward to Thursday and Friday and Saturday, as I know you are as well. And, you know, as we sit here in Atlanta, we've talked to you, I don't know how many, five, 6 years in a row. Every year we pepper you with questions about edge rushers, and every year they don't take them. We're going to do it again with the hope that they do it this year. But let me start with a guy who I've seen linked to the Falcons in a lot of mock drafts that I'm not all that familiar with because of where he played in college. Mike Green from Marshall. What do you think of him as a prospect?
I like Mike Green. I like Mike Green a lot. In fact, obviously the issue that would be discussed in draft meetings is level of competition. They did play Ohio State. He played very, very well. I think Green, of all the edge rushers in this draft class, Nick Scowerton would fit in that role as well, has the most tools in his toolbox. You know, one of the things you notice with a lot of college edge rushers who are very athletic is they don't really have a lot of tools in their toolbox. They don't really have a pass rush arsenal. They just rely on athleticism. And you can't just rely on athleticism in the NFL. You're not just going to run by offensive tackles in the NFL. So I thought Green had a pretty diversified pass rush repertoire. I think watching him through a game, you see that he has a plan of how to attack offensive tackles. The number one thing, and I've learned this from speaking to offensive tackles, the number one thing that you have to be able to do is you have to have a power game. If you don't have a power game, it's really hard to be a consistently good pass rusher. And he's got that short stroke power game, and it kind of starts there. He's able to do that. But I really liked Mike Green. And now some people are going to look at arm length, which has become a very big thing. His arms are not long. So that could be a detriment. But just watching his tape, I enjoyed watching his tape.
Great. What about the kids from Georgia? Obviously, Michael and Jalen Walker, they both had their workouts because they couldn't do it during Georgia's Pro Day. Tell me about these two kids. I mean, I've watched a lot of them, but I haven't studied them like you have.
Yeah, Walker's a fascinating guy, Randy, because, you know, look, you play in the league, so the first day you line up, you know, you go to, I guess is it OTAs now? Is that the first thing that they call it?
It was quarterback school then.
Right. But then when they bring in, you know, the rookies and they do all that stuff and they're in shorts and a T-shirt, where does Jalen Walker line up? Where are you putting him? And I think that becomes team and scheme specific. He's a really good pass rusher. He's a sudden, twitchy athlete. I think what he does best is rush the quarterback. But he's not a 4-3 DN. He's only 6'1", 243. He's not long enough to be a 4-3 DN. And, I mean, unless he's an exception. I mean, that's the thing. You have to decide that. You know, you can go back in history and look at someone like Robert Mathis, who was 240 pounds. If you play a 5-2 front or a 3-4 front, I tend to call it a 5-2 these days, he certainly can be an outside backer. You can line him up there. But in a 4-3 front, a true 4-3 front, he's a stacked backer. But what he does best is rush the quarterback. So I'll be real interested to see who drafts him and where they put him. Now, as far as Mikel Williams, I mean, this guy looks like Tarzan. I mean, he just looks like he should be a great player. I think he improved this year as a pass rusher. That's the area he needs to improve. Because if you draft him high, you're drafting him expecting him to be a quality edge pass rusher. Now, you could also move him inside at times in some of your sub fronts and have him work against guards and centers depending on what you do, but at his core, he'd be an edge player. I thought he improved. I thought you saw more in his game. It's definitely in his body to do it. He just has to get better at it so that he can be a more consistent edge player and be a pass rusher. I mean, when you draft edge players early, that's what you're counting on.
Right. Greg Cosell joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking as many different draft prospects as we possibly can in the time that we have. Another name that we've seen and certainly understand the conversation given what he can do physically, but then there's some questions about the production while he was at Texas A&M is Shamar Stewart. What do you see when you look at Shamar Stewart?
He's exactly what I was talking about, Andy. He's a guy, he's a freak. He's a freakish athlete. And that jumps off the film. But he's a guy at this moment in time that doesn't know how to rush the quarterback. He basically just lines up and runs into the offensive tackle. And now every once in a while, because he's strong and he's powerful, and when he has a runway, when he's a wide nine and has a runway and he can generate velocity, he can win. But he's a guy that you have to teach how to rush the quarterback. But he's a superior athlete. He's a freakish athlete. But, you know, again, that could be a little bit of a process. I mean, you know, just like with quarterbacks now, there's guys that just teach, you know, how to rush the quarterback. I know Chuck Smith did it for years, but now he's with the Baltimore Ravens as a coach. So, and you guys probably know him well because I believe he was down in Atlanta. So, you know, there's guys who teach that now. There's sort of pass rush schools. He needs to be taught how to rush the quarterback.
What about, you know, a guy who I've been coming into the season, I saw a lot of projection, top 10, top 5 guy. I don't know how that goes now, but James Pierce out of Tennessee. I know they said maybe some character issues, whatever that is. But what do you think about him? Because you see some people mocking him. He can maybe be there when the Falcons pick.
Yeah, this guy's a high-level athlete. I mean, he's sudden, he's twitchy, he's long, he's over 6'5", he's 245. So, you know, when I saw him at the combine, I mean, he's got a really thin waist. I mean, he looks great. I think the power element to his game remains a work in progress, and I think that's where he needs to improve. But there's no question you're dealing with a guy that is just a naturally quick, explosive, sudden athlete, and that shows up. So, you know, again, I don't know anything about – I don't deal with, obviously, the off-the-field stuff. I just sit in my office, Randy, as you know, and I just watch tape. So, you know, I mean, I hear stuff, but I don't talk about it because I don't know. And I try not to talk about things I don't know about. So, you know, maybe that'll mean he'll drop. Who knows? But there's no question that the suddenness, the length, you know, he's got – his wingspan was 81 inches, which is pretty long. He ran really well. He's a really, really good athlete, and he's 6'5". And, you know, that's really good length for an edge pass rusher.
A name that I've been seeing more recently that I probably don't know how to say, I'm going to do my best, is an edge rusher out of Boston College named Donovan Ezeraku. I've seen him over the last couple of weeks mentioned as sort of a mid to late round draft pick. What do you see when you look at the edge rusher out of Boston College?
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy. Now, he's got really long arms for his height. He's only a little over 6'2", but he's got 34.5-inch arms. And it's funny, in my conversations with coaches, this arm length thing for both offensive tackles and pass rushers has become a really big deal. And he knew how to use his arm length. He had some short stroke power. He had quick, forceful strikes. I mean, he really struck people. And that keeps your legs clean, so it could maximize his quickness. He's a really interesting guy. I mean, and he had some bend and flexibility to him, some balance and body control. One of the things he did that you have to be able to do as an edge pass rusher is when you get to the top of the pass rush arc, if you want to win on the high side, you've got to be able to flatten your rush path when you clear that arc. Some guys can't do that, and they just get pushed past the quarterback. The guys that can flatten their rush path, they can get to the quarterback, and he was able to do that. So we'll see. I think he'll probably begin his career as a sub-defense edge pass rusher. You can move him around. You know, we call it the Joker position, where guys sort of stand up inside, both on the ball and off the ball. I think you can do that with him as well. I found him to be a fascinating guy.
What about some day two guys, Greg? Because I know we always talk about it, being here in Atlanta, is edge rush. We're thinking like the first two rounds you take one. What are some good maybe second round, third round options? We don't have a third round, but some second day type pick guys that can maybe come in and make an immediate impact.
You're talking about edge rushers?
Yes, yes.
Well, I mentioned Nick Scourton, who I really, really like a lot. I think, 2 years ago in the Big Ten, he led the Big Ten in sacks. This year he transferred to A&M. And, you know, I think he's just a guy that, to me, again, like Mike Green, has a lot of tools in his toolbox. I think he's a really good pass rusher. I think he's pretty good size kid. I think he can be a pure 4-3 D end. I like him. I don't know where he'll go in the draft. I'm not good with that stuff. I don't do mocks, as you guys know. Right. But, I really like Nick Scourton, and it would not surprise me if he was a first-round pick.
Greg Cosell joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking a bunch of different draft prospects with the Falcons picking at 15 in the first round next week. Let me just try to, if we can group all of those names that we just talked to together, and maybe there's some other ones as well. Obviously, with where the Falcons are in the first round, Abdul Carter's not going to be there. But of the folks that we just spoke about, which do you think would be most likely to make a day one impact in terms of getting into the quarterback?
Well, I'm going to mention one other name, a player that I really like on tape, and that's Landon Jackson from Arkansas. He's 6'6", almost 270 pounds. If you watch his tape against LSU where he went up against Will Campbell, a good part of the game, he gave Will Campbell all he could handle. He had a couple of sacks. He had pressures on the quarterback. I really like Landon Jackson. If you're talking about they drafted 15, again, I don't know what's going to happen, before that. I don't think like that. Obviously they want a pass rusher. There's going to be someone available at 15. It all depends on what their board looks like. That's the thing. I mean, there's going to be someone. So, and we know how the draft works now. Teams always give you the best player available, but the way it really works is it's best player available at a position of need. So that's kind of where they are, and they're going to need one, and we'll see. But there's going to be, I would bet there'll be, of the guys we just talked about, Andy, there'll be three or four of those guys available at 15.
What about more? What about interior? I know we talk edge, but there is a possibility because they do need help at the defensive tackle. Talking about the Falcons, a guy that could be there is this guy Walter Nolan. Now, we know how highly recruited he was coming to Texas A&M. Now he's at Ole Miss, played pretty good against Georgia. What about him? Because he seems like, I don't want to say boom or bust, G, but he seems like he's a guy that, if tapped in right, he can be one of those guys.
To me, Walter Nolan's the best D-tackle prospect in this draft. He is a power 3 technique, Randy. I mean, and you can also line him up in other spots, but to me, he's a power 3 technique. He has plays. I watched a lot of games of Ole Miss because it seems like they had half the free world on their defense that's going into the NFL. But so I watched a lot of games. And this guy, he moves people physically. And we're talking about the SEC now. So this is the best conference in the country. And he moved people. He displaced people. I mean, he had transcendent confined space, strength, and power. There were plays where he looked like Jalen Carter. There's no question that he can transition to the league as a power 3 technique. I really, really like him. Now, I've heard through the grapevine that there's some, personal issues. And issues is probably not the right word. Things that give people pause. So I don't know where he's going to get drafted. But I believe based purely on tape, and that's what I do, so I want people to understand that. I don't get into the other stuff. I thought based on tape study that he was the best D-tackle prospect in this draft class.
Real quick, because I promise we said we're going to do all defense. I want to get one offensive thing with you, and it's the tackles. And because there were some rumors about the Falcons maybe going tackle at 15. Obviously, left-handed quarterback. What, Greg, in today's football, and when you evaluate these guys, do you evaluate one guy as a right or left tackle?
Because it's funny you mentioned that because of Penix. Obviously, there's very few left-handed quarterbacks. There haven't been in a really long time.
Right.
I think the only delineation now between right and left tackle is the fact that the left tackle is the blind side. Obviously, in Penix's case, it's not. But I think the way the game has changed defensively, Randy, it doesn't matter which side, because teams, I mean, there's great pass rushers that are on the left side of the defense, the right side of the offense. You've got to block those guys. You know, you've got to block T.J. Watt. You know, he's left defensive end. I mean, so to me, that delineation has ended. Now, obviously with Penix, the right tackle becomes the blind side tackle. So, you know, that guy becomes really important.
Greg, great info. As always, thank you so much.
All right, guys. Love talking with you. Thanks.
Take care. Greg Cosell there, NFL Network, NFL Film.